progress.
Okay. So b'siyata d'shmaya, we begin Basar v'chalav with Siman Pei Zayin. And most of today's shiur, unlike many of the other shiurim, which are going to try to figure out a lot of what's going on in the Rishayim, as quoted by the Beis Yosef and other places and in Nachronim, we're going to focus on a hakdama. The Torah Kedosha tells us, Leisav Ashel Gedi Bachalevi Mai, three different times in Parshas Mishpatim, Parshas Kisisa, and Parshas Re'eh. Three times the Torah tells us not to cook meat and milk together. Interestingly, the Targum in each three of those instances translate Leisav Ashel as to cook. Lo soflam, don't cook. Of course, what's well known is the Gemara in a few places. In your booklet, it's on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara, interestingly, Bedas Rabbi Akiva, who says Chayiv Ha'Of Eina Min HaTorah, that the Yisr of Basar B'Chalav applies to domesticated animals, not wild animals, and not to fowl. And the source of it, Shenemar Loisav Ashel Gedi B'Chalav Gimel Pa'amim. And there, the Torah tells us, "Losav Ashel" three times. Prat lechayel leofu behema tmeya. Each one is coming to preclude a different animal. Rabbi said, "Glili amar nemar losav lekal nevela, nemar losav ashel gedi bechalei bimo. Es she'aser b'shum nevela, asel vashel basav bechalav. Oh, she'aser b'shum nevela, yachli ye asel vashel bechalav. Tamlom bechalei bimo. Yatsa off she'ain lo chalav." So here, the Gemara darshins losav ashel in a different way. It doesn't darshan it in regards to the halacha of achila, hana'a, and bishul. The Gemara uses it for a different limudim, to preclude chayiv ha'of. However, most shitas of the Tanoim is that the Torah Kedosha tells us that it's asur, lo sevashel has a connotation of three different things: bishul, achila, and hana'a, as described in the opening words of the tour. The tour describes it for us. Isur bishul basa b'chalav, ksiv, three times. What's that based on? So that's a Gemara on daf kuf tes vav on the base. Three times, echad isur achil, echad isur bishul, ve'echad isur hana. Now, the fact that the Torah Kedoshah writes the isur of basa b'chalav, which ostensibly, of course, generally starts with achila in the lashon of bishul all three times, begs a question. Why did the Torah write it out in this particular way? Why is it formulated b'loshon bishul if Chazal understood, and we'll see why Chazal understood, that the word bishul can also include hana'a? Why is it that the Torah didn't just simply say lo soflu? So the why is one question, and the what is another question. What is it about lo sevashel gedi b'chalev imo that doesn't have the formulation of lo soflu? What does that tell us about the Isur Basar B'chalav? So, as you see in your booklet, there are many differences between the halachas of Basar B'chalav in regards to other Isur Achila, for example, the Isur of Nevela. Let's take a startling comment from the Rambam. The Rambam describes that when it comes to the fact that the Torah writes lo sevashel and does not say the iser of lo soflu, comes to tell us that Basar B'chalav is entirely unique in that the iser achila is not the normative act of eating. This is quoted by the Pischei Tshuva. The Pischei Tshuva in Sifkatan Aleph in Shulchan Aruch says v'af shelo kederech achila v'ana aser v'loikalav, that if a person derives benefit even shelo kederech achila, because Chazal always say that when the Torah says lo yisaychal, the Gemara in Yuma tells us this, it has to be bederech achila, the way a person normally eats. But since the Torah did not say lo yisaychal, the Torah said it formulated in a different way, so it's coming to tell us, one of the things that's coming to tell us is that you're chayiv even shelo kederech achila. Now this is going to be an important discussion. The Rambam describes over there, the Rambam just doesn't say this as simply a drasha of Chazal, but the Rambam applies it in a fascinating way. I did not put it in the booklet. I highly encourage you to take a look at this Rambam. In Perek Yudalet Halacha Yud and Halacha Yud Aleph, the Rambam describes what happens if a person adds something that's pogum, something that is distasteful into the mixture of basar b'chalav. So you wouldn't eat it. That's what we call shaloi kederech achilasan. The person normally wouldn't eat it. But the Rambam says that in such a case, for basar b'chalav, it's still going to be considered basar b'chalav. Because if the fact that a person will not eat it in a normal manner, that is not an exception to the Isser of Basar B'chalav, because the Torah never tells you Lo Saichu. And therefore, Shaloi Kederech HaNasan could still be Chayiv when it comes to Basar B'chalav. Now this is really, really interesting. We have to store this away for a few months from now, because this is really interesting, because we do have a Siman Hilchos Tarulis called No Sein Tam Mufgam. Right? There is something called No Sein Tam Mufgam. But the Rambam says the fact that you put a Dover HaPogim inside is not going to affect it. And that's why Basar B'chalav is similar to Klai HaKerem, that Shelo Kederech HaNasan is going to be Chayiv. So that is one of the what's that differentiate Basar B'chalav from other Isurim. Another what, which is extremely, extremely important, is the Gemara Psachim Adach Mem Dalet Amid Beis that's in your booklet. The Gemara Psachim Mem Dalet for a couple of Dapim searches for a concept which we're going to spend a lot of time discussing, and that's the concept of Tam Ki Iker. Tam Ki Iker, for example, when it comes to a Nazir, if a Nazir soaks bread in wine, and he eats the bread that has a taste of wine, so the Nazir has violated the oath of his Nazirus not to drink wine. Why? Because he has Tam Ki Iker. The Tam of the wine becomes a critical halachic factor. So Rabbi Akiva, who's one of the sources that holds Tam Ki Iker, so the Gemara about 20 lines in, Amen Dalet on the base, first one in line is Umiyayin. The Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva Tam Ki Iker Minole. Says the Gemara, Yalf mi basa v'chalav. We learn from basa v'chalav. Lav tamar ba'almahu. You cook the meat with the milk. V'asr. And it's asr. Even though all you have now, you don't have a mamashos. You didn't eat a kezayis of chalav. So therefore, nevertheless, you're going to be chayiv. As long as you have a kezayis of both basar v'chalav combined, so then that's enough to be chayiv. Why? Because you have tam ki iker. Where do we know tam ki iker from? Because the Torah says, lo sevashel gedi chalev imo. In other words, when it comes to the iser, the Torah itself went out of its way to formulate the prohibition of basar v'chalav, not in terms of the identity of an oichel, but rather iser that's imbibed through bishul. And Chazal assumed that bishul means a exposure of tam between the two components. And since you have that exposure of tam, then in such a case you're going to be chayiv. The Gemara then retorts, and the Gemara says, but it's a chiddush. Basar b'chalav is a chiddush. In other words, what the Gemara is referring to is that we see that when it comes to other isurim, they're not formulated in terms of the rule world of bishul. And therefore the Gemara backs away from that being the source of Tam Ki Iker. Basar B'chalav is not the source of Tam Ki Iker, even though we know that when it comes to Basar B'chalav, clearly the Isser is with Tam, because it's a Chiddush. What's the Chiddush? So this is going to be really, really important. This is going to be super Lamdus, and the super Lamdus we're only going to get to a couple months in. But remember this line of the Gemara. It says, Gemara Umay Chiddush. What's the Chiddush? The Gemara goes through a few possibilities. Let's go through the two possibilities in Gemara. Gemara says, Ma'ay Chiddush, Ilem at the Ha'ilichu Dei V'Ha'ilichu Dei Shari. If the Chiddush is that Basar is Mutter and Cholov is Mutter, each one of them are Mutter, U'Bahadi Adodi Osir, and the combination of both of them are what makes it Osir, that would be the Chiddush, and therefore it's different than the rules of Mevela. The Gemara says, Klein Nami Ha'ilichu Dei Koi V'Ha'ilichu Dei Shari, U'Bahadi Osir. Klein is also similar. Ella, but rather the chiddush is the itaru lekule yoma bechalva shari. If you soak it the entire day, the meat and milk together, it's still going to be permissible. Now, we have a tradition that when you do kavush, when you soak something for 24 hours, the tam is imbibed. Nevertheless, the Gemara says permissible. The Gemara doesn't mean mutter. We're going to see that it's aser midrabanan, but rather bashule bishule aser means minatora. That in order to be chayy for this, for basar b'chalav, you need to have the act of bishul. So here the Gemara says that we see that basar b'chalav is unique. Basar b'chalav requires bishul. Bishul is a way in which tam is given over, but even in the case of where you have tam, there that's not enough. So it's not formulated as an isur achila, it's formulated as a bishul. Bishul is tam, but it has to be a unique way in which the tam is created. It has to be created through the act of bishul. It's not created through bishul, so then in such a case, it's not going to be called basar b'chalav. So here, we're up to distinction, at least number two. We'll review all of our distinctions, bli neder, at the end. Distinction number two, is that when it comes to basar b'chalav, there the only way it assumes the identity of basar b'chalav is cooked together. What happens if you have a piece of kosher meat that's soaked with pig meat? So then in such a case, if it's soaked for 24 hours, then if it has the right conditions of soaking, so then in such a case, that's going to be considered asur min ha-Torah. That's going to be have tam min ha-Torah. If you hold tam ki-ikr, then in such a case, you don't even need a kezayis. And if you don't hold a tam ki-ikr, then it could be you're going to need a kezayis of iser that we'll get to shortly. But at the end of the day, it's going to be different than the halacha of bishul basar b'chalav. Bishul basar b'chalav is that there is a condition it needs to be done with the process of cooking. That component, that bishul basar b'chalav creates a new identity of basar b'chalav, will help us be introduced to one of the most important terms that are going to be with us, Emir Tzah Hashem, the entire Zman, all the way until Pesach. And that is a term of Chaticha Nasis Nevela. Chaticha Nasis Nevela means as follows. This is very, very important. I'll actually draw it on the board. It's very simple. There are going to be many, many, many Pratim, but we're going to just describe it in its simplest form. Here we have a piece of meat, and you have the milk that's fallen onto the piece of meat. If there is enough milk that gives off taste into the meat, this whole piece of meat becomes basar b'chalav. What happens, what we're going to be discussing in detail, is what happens if that piece of meat falls into a pot. So now, we know there's a rule of shishin. We're not going to describe now exactly what and how that rule of shishim is, but we know that the rule is that, because there are many different explanations, we know that the rule is that when it comes to a pot, in order that the food be mutter in the pot that the meat has fallen into, there needs to be 60 times the isur. Now, how do we assess that 60 times? Do we assess 60 times the amount of taste of basar b'chalav against the entire pot? Or do we say, chaticha nasis nevela, that the whole pot, the whole piece of meat becomes nevela, and you need 60 times the piece of the meat? Or do you say, it's the amount of taste of basar b'chalav that went into the pot? So the Gemara tells us, and daf kuf ches, chaticha nasis nevela, let's translate those words, the chaticha, that piece of meat, entirely becomes nevela. You look at the entire meat as, pardon the brisker terminology, as a new chefza of iser. You look at it as an entire chefza shel iser, and therefore your mishar shishim keneged the entire pot. Now, we're going to have a big, big machlekes rishonim, which is going to be a machlekes between the Mechaber and the Ramah, which is going to have big nafkaminas lahalacha, of whether there's a possibility that you say chaticha nasis nevela by shari surim. The bottom line is that everybody agrees conceptually that chaticha nasis nevela really starts from basar b'chalav, and according to most Rishonim, even those who say chaticha nasis nevela by shar surim, the Ran writes that it's a gzeira, some type of gzeira of atu basar b'chalav. And the reason why basar b'chalav is entirely different than shar isurim is because when it comes to shar isurim, over there the isur is not the new identity. Let's say, well, let's describe the case of shari surim. Let's say you had chalev. Let's say you had liquefied fat that fell onto a piece of meat. And that piece of meat fell into the kedera. There's absolutely no reason to look at the isur as the entire piece of meat. You're going to be mesha'er. You're going to estimate based on the amount of chalev. What is that called in halachic terminology? That's called an isur balua. The isur is absorbed into that piece of meat. It's balua into the piece of meat. And therefore, if you're going to assess 60 keneged the isur, it makes sense that you just make a cheshbon of how much chaylev there was over here. However, what did the Gemara in Pesachim on Mem Dalet Amud Beis teach us? The Gemara in Pesachim Mem Dalet Amud Beis tells us that basar b'chalav is magic, that it's about the relationship between the meat and the milk. The relationship that comes together creates a new identity called basar b'chalav. Therefore, chaticha nasis nevela, the entire meat, as far as the milk reaches, even though when you cook it with something else, that taste of meat and milk won't necessarily be tangible, nevertheless, chaticha nasis nevela, that chaticha becomes a nevela. So again, this starts, as our great Rebbe Rav Shechter would emphasize, it starts with the psukim. It all starts, it's really, a lot of the longus comes back to this fact. And if you take a look in his way, the Prima Gadim and the Psicha HaKoleles gives a lot of what I'm doing now is based on the Psicha HaKoleles. Take a look on him on Basar B'Chalav. And he just starts out outlining many of these differences between Basar B'Chalav and Shar Isurim. And that starts from the fact that the Torah says, Loi Sevasho. So let's count what we have. Let's see how many differences we have. First of all, when it comes to Basar B'Chalav, there we have in Isur HaNav. When the Torah says loy soichu for abay nevela, the opposite is true. Lagera shebishachrena, you can give it to a Gentile. So you have an isra hana by basar b'chalav that you don't have when it comes to shari surim. We have the din of chaticha nasis nevela. We have the din of tam ki ikur that we saw, that tam ki ikur could apply to basar b'chalav, but you won't necessarily hold that it applies to shari surim. So how do we paskin, by the way, just for a little bit of background, for when we get to Taruvas. We paskin according to those Rishonim who say that there is Tam Kikr by Shari Sum. So it is a little bit academic. However, the Rambam and others learn that Tam Kikr, you don't get Malkus by Shari Sum. Of course, by Basar B'Chalav, it would not be that way. So even according to those who say there is Tam Kikr in Kol HaTorah Kula, nevertheless, the halacha would be that that there's only Malkus by Basar B'Chalav, according to Rambam and many others. The Prima Gadim makes reference to this. And not by Shari Surim. We also mentioned, we're up to number 4 if I'm not mistaken, we also mentioned the din of the Rambam of Shalom Kederach Hanasan, that when it comes to Basar B'Chalav, since the Torah didn't say Loi Soichlu, it said Loi Sevasho, and Chazal have a tradition that it means Achila, so then Shalom Kederach Hanasan is going to be Chayiv. And number 5 is the difference that we had mentioned about Bishul. And this is versus Kavush. And this is going to be important in the opening lines of the Shulchan Aruch. Take a look at the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Kasav the Torah, Lois of Ashur B'di B'chalev Yimai Sholish Pa'amin, Echadis Abishol, Echadis Rachil, Echadis Ranah, V'haitzi Achila B'lashim Bishol. And the Torah uses the expression of Achila, uses the expression of Bishol to emphasize Achila, but it doesn't say it explicitly. So the Shulchan Aruch's way of presenting why the Torah didn't say Lo Soichal once doesn't answer why it doesn't say Lo Tehena once. But the reason why the Torah did, you know what, let me take that back. It can't answer that as well. The reason why the Torah says Lo Sevashel is to emphasize She'ein Asim in HaTorah Ela Derech Bishul. It's only going to be Derech Bishul. So what is that referring to? For example, Kavush. That Kavush is only going to be Aser Midrabanan. It's not going to be Aser Min HaTorah. One more nafkamina, which is an important nafkamina in Hilchos Taruvos, introducing you to another term in Taruvos, is the din of Chaticha HaRu'uya L'Ischabed. The halacha is that if this piece of meat is a meat that is Michubad, it would be something that you would give to a guest. So then in such a case, if it falls into a mixture of a bunch of other pieces of meat, it's not batal. Why? Because it's chashuv. That's another way of describing davar chashuv is chaticha ruy l'skave. So if you have basar b'chalav, you have the chalav that came on top of the meat, falls into not a liquid dish, but it falls into a mixture of a bunch of pieces of meat, it's not batal, even though we have a rule, after amlatos you go basar rov. That halacha only applies, says the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Taruvos, only applies for the Isser of Basar B'Chalav and those Isurim that are an Isser Machmas Atzmai. But if it's an Isser Balua, then in such a case it would be batel. Why would it be batel? Because if it's an iser balua, the iser is not ruuya l'schabeg. When it comes to basar b'chalav, this whole thing becomes a chetza shel iser. The whole thing is ruuya l'schabeg. But if you have a chalav that fell onto a piece of meat, so then in such a case, that's an iser balua. There, the iser is not ruuya l'schabeg. So then in such a case, the regular rules of bittel are going to apply. So this is some of the prima gadim's nafkaminas and my own additions that I think will be helpful b'siyata d'shmayim in beginning the basic klalim in regards to basar b'chalav taruvos. And now we're able to look at a very sharp point of Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger. We're going to see a lot of powerful conceptual pieces from Rabbi Kiva Eger, but here's a powerful textual point. Let's read the Shulchan Aruch very, very, very carefully. So we just read the Shulchan Aruch. Midrabanan, if you do kavush, it's going to be asr, it's not going to be asr min haTorah. Says the Ramah, kol basar v'chalav, she'ena asr min haTorah, mutter bahana. Any basar v'chalav that is not asr min haTorah is mutter bahana. So this is a Gemara that the Torah quotes, that midrabanan, the halacha is, if you have something that is only asr midrabanan, for example, kavush, so kavush is asr ba'achila, but it's mutter bahana, and it's mutter bahana, because the dine derabanan basar b'chalav are only asr ba'achila and not asr bahana. Comes along Rabbi Kiva Eger, and Rabbi Kiva Eger is bothered by a kasha. Take a look at Gimel. V'ha d'lo kasav de mutter b'bishol, but what about bishol? What happens if you have basar b'chalav midrabanan? Why didn't the Ramah say that it's mutter b'bishol? What would an example of that be? An example of that would be chicken and milk. Basar of, we saw Rabbi Akiva, basar of b'chalav is only asr midrabanan. Now it's mutter, according to most, to cook chicken and milk together. So why did the Ramah not say that? It's a fascinating deal Rabbi Akiva Eger is making in the language of the Ramah. So says Rabbi Kiva Eger beautifully, and fits in beautifully conceptually what we saw before. Dikayo bebasa bechalav ayidei kfisho melicha, bazeh asur bishul. What happens, you tell me, Rabbosai, what happens if you have basar bechalav that was soaked together? Okay, so that's asur midrabanan to eat, right? What would the halacha be if you cooked it now? What are you telling me? What if you cooked it? You have basar that's kavush, and now you cooked it. Are you over the Yisr D'Araisa? Lo savashu b'din b'chalei v'imau. Baruch ato adayinu yelahinu mal chaylam, sha'akol niyeh b'dvarai. What do you say?
Was there an improvement in the bishol at post the soaking?
Was there improvement? In other words, you bring up a good point, because our next topic is going to be the rule Ein Bishol Achar Bishol. Do you apply Ein Bishol Achar Bishol? So let's say no. Let's say I didn't notice the difference. In other words, you're saying even if you hold Ein Bishol Achar Bishol, but we do say Yesh Bishol Achar Bishol if there's an improvement. Okay, I would even press and say, what if, even if there wasn't improvement? Yes, Mati?
I was just wondering about the definition about kavush.
Kavush is soaking. If you were soaking the Yemeshi started saying something?
No, I'm saying cooking was for chol.
Oh, very good. When it comes to kavush itself is not considered basar v'chol of Minat Torah. It's not considered basar v'chol of Minat Torah because it has to be mevushal. So then if you cook it, then that's going to be Bishol Basar B'chalav Min haTorah. Take a look at Rabbi Kiva Eger. Let's continue on. So says Rabbi Kiva Eger, this is a big chizuk. Every word in the Ramah is meduyik. Every word in the Ramah is meduyik. Why did the Ramah not say Mutter Ba'na B'Bishol? Because it's true. In 99% of the time, if you have Basar B'chalav Min haTorah, you're allowed to cook it. So why did the Ramah not say it? The answer is, for 1 or 2% of the time. What is that 1 or 2% of the time? The case of kavush. If you're going, you had basar b'chalav that was soaked together, and then you cooked it. Vover mishum bishul. V'gam yaser b'anah. Now it's also going to be yaser b'anah. The nasa basar b'chalav d'araisa. That's going to be considered basar b'chalav d'araisa. So that's a geshmaka application in the textual words of the Ramah, as Rabbi Kiva Eger points out. The Shaf, of course, in the Sifkat and Aleph, says she'ein osim atorah d'arfishul kloimar avoloy de'kavushim alicha. Either if it's salted or it's soaked, she'ena derech bishul, it's not going to be derech bishul. Now, we could spend a couple minutes discussing the why. And the reason for that is, if we're going to spend months on learning the details of basar b'chalav, it would be inappropriate for not to spend some time understanding how Chazal understood the Torah this way, and why they understood the Torah this way. And even the why the Torah did not write it the way that we would have expected it, that it should be written lo sochal, lo tehene, and lo sevashal. Why not in those three ways? So the Rambam presents it one way. I think that we have the Rambam in your booklet in Perek Tes Halacha Beis. The Rambam says as follows: lo shasak hakosam lileser achila, el mepnei she'asar abishul. Now the Rambam in Halacha Beis really starts off. Going in the direction of the tour, that we saw that the tour said that the definition of an item of food that's going to be considered basar b'chalav is defined by bishul. If you don't have bishul, so then it's not going to be basar b'chalav. Kloimar v'afilu bishul asur. But here the Rambam adds more, that the Torah is telling you not only is achila asur, bishul is also asur. Ve'ein tzarach kloimar achila asur. You don't need to say achila. And the Rambam refers to a Gemara in Yevamos, that the Gemara in Yevamos says that the Torah never asers the relations with one's daughter, that the Torah asers with one's granddaughter, and we make a kal v'chomer from one's granddaughter to one's daughter. So therefore, if when it comes to bishul, it's aser, certainly when it comes to achila, it's going to be aser. Now, the strength of that kal v'chomer, we're going to leave for right now. It'll be my honor to discuss it with you in Seder. But there is a Kesef Mishnah that asks a strong question on this Rambam. The Kesef Mishnah, interestingly, does not appear in Hilchas Macholos Asuras, but it is in Hilchas Tumas HaMeis. All the way in the beginning of Sefer Tahara, the Kesef Mishnah makes reference, is on another Kal V'Chomer in Tumah V'Taharah. Please take a look at it. I'm not going to discuss it right now, but Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, the Rambam there has a Kal V'Chomer by Masa of Tumas Meis, and the Kesef Mishnah asks the following question. Kesef Mishnah asks, but at the end of the day, we have a rule that the Gemara uses often in Bava Kamma and Sanhedrin, Ein Oinshin Min Adin, that you can't punish based on a Kal V'Chomer. And we know that the Yisr Lav of Basar V'Chalav is punishable by Malkus. So obviously the Rambam's Kal V'Chomer is not a standard Kal V'Chomer. It's not the standard Kal V'Chomer. So what exactly is the Rambam doing? So to that, the Kesef Mishnah gives two answers. That's in your booklet. And he says as follows. U'basar b'chalav. Sha'asar b'shula. Once the Torah says not to cook it, have a b'chlal lo'isaychal kol ta'eva. When we learned Chulin, we saw there might be references to this in the Amoraim. But just leaving the Kesef Mishnah in a vacuum, the Kesef Mishnah is saying as follows, that if the Torah tells you, so the Torah is telling you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds it an abomination to mix and cook the meat and milk together. So, and the Torah tells us, so the Rambam didn't really mean to say a classic Kal V'Chomer, but that was what the Rambam meant. The Rambam meant that it's going to fall into the category of L'Sochal Kol Te'eva. That's one explanation of how to understand this progression from Bishul to Achila. Inami, says the Kesef Mishnah, D'mashma sh'loi osra teri levashal el kadei sh'loi yovoi lechol. Or else, he argues, that loy sevashel is what some would call a geder do'oraisa. that the Torah, if the Torah prohibited bishul, so what the Torah is doing is it's prohibiting bishul because it doesn't want you to eat. In other words, eating basar b'chalav is such a terrible thing that the Torah already asked bishul, which is the step prior to achila, which obviously says a lot about the chumrah, the chomer, excuse me, of basar b'chalav. And there you could take a look at there are mefarshei ala Torah that we're not going to get involved with. The idea of klayim, the purity of species, and mixing together meat and milk, and what meat and milk each one of them represent, v'chulei v'chulei, and how that's connected to chalev imo, obviously the barbaricism as well. Different mefarshei Torah and the mechabrei of tamim and mitzvos get involved with that as well. I can give you those marim makomos and seder. But the Kesef Mishnah, what the Kesef Mishnah says is that there's something terrible about basar b'chalav. The Torah even, not only does it prohibit us from eating it, but the Torah goes out of its way to create a tsyog d'oraisa of lo sevashel. That's the way the Kesef Mishnah presents it. Now, last time I learned this, I then applied this halacha l'maisa, which we're going to apply it shortly, but this Kesef Mishnah has hashlachos halacha l'maisa, and all this it goes back to how the Torah was written. But I want to share with you that the next day, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, Shmuel Drach pointed out to me that there's the Ksava HaKabbalah, which is a fantastic, fantastic sefer in terms of dealing with the textual expression of the Torah and the understanding of Chazal. That's what the whole sefer is, the title of the sefer is HaKsav, how the Torah is written, and Kabbalah, and how Chazal understood it. And his whole agenda in the sefer Ksava HaKabbalah is to deal with the Chazal's drashos and explain how Chazal saw their drashos also textually as well. Of course, there's a Masorah as well in how to read the Psukim, but that's the agenda of the Sefer Ksav HaKabbalah. So the Ksav HaKabbalah says an amazing, amazing point that is really fascinating. I photocopied it for you. In Perichov Gimel Pasuk Yutes in Shmos, He says as follows. He says, "Venirali," the bottom of the first column. Ki b'shorish bishol nichlal gimel horos. He said, if you read Tanakh carefully, the Ksav HaKabbalah had a tremendous eye for Hebrew. He was a tremendous lamdan, but also a tremendous Hebrew linguist. And he says, if you look in Tanakh carefully, you'll see that the word bishol actually has three different connotations. Echad. Well, first connotation is Bechor HaPri V'HaTvua. And that is, he writes the Yiddish, ripe. He says, Bishul could refer to something as ripe. It's ripe. Kimo Hevshilu Eshkelo Seha. Hasheni, Bishul HaMaichel B'mayim. The second is to actually cook in water. And the third is to roast. Of course, there's a famous kasha in Divrei HaYomim. It says, Vayivashul Es HaPesach. And you're not allowed to cook the Karban Pesach. And so, many point out that if you read carefully, the word bishul could also mean to roast as well. So therefore, says the Ksav HaKabbalah, v'shalosh haroz ha'protius eila nirish ha'ra achas kolelas eskulam. Even though they have slightly different connotations, or it's even different meanings, they all come, the word bishul means the following, says the Ksav HaKabbalah. V'u'inyin ha'hechsher la'achila. He claims that the Torah never meant to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even B'Torah Shebiksav, not just B'Torah HaKabbalah, even B'Torah HaKsav, the Kavanah was don't prepare the meat in its mother's milk. Obviously, we'll need another drasha to talk about all meat and all milk. But don't prepare. Okay, he now gets into linguistic details, but he's answered our question. And the Ksav HaKabbalah says as follows. The Bishul never meant just to cook. Bishul means to prepare together. Lo sevashel, to prepare, to make ripe, to be ready to eat. That's what the Ksav HaKabbalah writes. Now, this discussion of, if you will, Pshuto Shel Mikra and Chazal, actually applied itself halacha lemaisa in the laboratory, the lab of Yeshiva University, as well as a chocolate factory in Mea Shearim. This same issue was poter two different shaylos, one in a YU lab and the other in a chocolate factory in Mea Shearim. Yeah.
So according to the example of Kabbalah, if you just soak it, so why is that not considered like preparing food?
Right. According to the example of Kabbalah, if it would be normal for people to soak, so then in such a case, then that would be a problem. It could be that he would say that in the once upon a time it wasn't normal, or maybe he has another terence. I don't know. That's a Moshe's making good ha'ara that if it was normal to soak to prepare, so then in such a case then it wouldn't preclude.
But at the end of the day, even if it's not with Kabbalah, all he's saying is that bishul, the word means hachana, but it doesn't mean that it's yotzei from the word bishul. Bishul also means lavasha.
Right. Right. Right, very good.
It's preparing, that's not what it means.
Very good. But Natan, Moshe's Chavrusa is rejecting him. But what he's pointing out is the following. If I could rephrase what he just said, is that the Ksav HaKabbalah said Bishul has three meanings which are achas, but each one of those three meanings have to be part of it. So that would be his point. That when it comes to Bishul, one of the definitions is the heating process. The problem is, you go back and forth. I'm not going to get in between the two chavrusas, but you go back and forth because one of his examples is heating up through the sun. In other words, by Bosar, where there it's described as heating up through the sun. So yesh lodim. But I think that is what the Ksav HaKabbalah would say. But you have to then go back again through what he had said and make sure that it's mukhrach. Okay, we have to stay on the halacha track. That's my job in the afternoon. So halacha lemaisa. Let's take this fascinating discussion in understanding Ksav Kabbalah halacha lemaisa. So Rav Shechter quotes him in Pnine Harav that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was approached. I guess it's now 80-90 years ago by the following shaila that came up with guys who were in YU lab. The shaila was as follows. The shaila was that they noticed that for their chemistry experiment, they needed to heat up components that were from an animal and components that were of milk. And the shaila was, isn't that a problem of bishul basar v'chalav? So in Pnine Arav, on page Kuf Nun Beis, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik made reference to this Kesef Mishnah. This Kesef Mishnah, that the second description of the Kesef Mishnah, that the Isser, and it's quite a Chiddush, and that is that the Isser of Bishul Basar B'Chalav is only a Bishul of Basar B'Chalav that is standard to bring to Achila. But if it's in no way the normal way for a person to cook for Derech Achila, so then in such a case, he argued that it was Mutter. Now, you have to have broad shoulders to be able to say that, because he's taking something that's ostensibly, at first glance, an Isser D'Oraisa, and he's passing, he's so sure that the Kesef Mishnah's second explanation is correct, and he's telling the boys that it's not going to be Aser. Now, in the Pnine Harav, he doesn't mention any other tzadim. Maybe he had other tzadim as well, but that is the way that it's presented in the name of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik from Rabbi Hoffman. I remember Rabbi Hoffman from the Beis Medrash in my days. That quotes, and he was, Rabbi Hoffman was very close with Rav Aaron. So that's what Rav Aaron had quoted from his father. The same Shaila I found is a Chuvas, for Chuva from the Chubina Rav. The Chubina Rav was one of the few surviving Gaonim from Poland. He was mechutin with Rav Menachem Zemba, whom my son, who's getting married Monday night, is named after, who was killed in the Holocaust on Kiddush Hashem. And the Dov Meisharim was a tremendous gaon, and he was asked the following shaila in Mea Shearim. The shaila that he was asked, it wasn't chemistry lab, but the shaila that he was asked was as follows. He was approached by someone who imported chocolates from Europe, and there was an allegation that there was some enzymes that were used that were animal derivatives in this chocolate. And a mashkiach said to him that they have 100% foolproof way of testing whether that enzyme is an animal enzyme, that if they heat up the chocolate, so then the enzyme will become revealed by the heat. It will be, and that would be a way to definitively know that it is meat, that it has meat in it, which of course then would tell us that it's treif. Okay, it tells us treif, but if you heat it up and you find out it's treif, then you also just did bishul basar v'chalav. Now that would be also an interesting question in terms of heating up an enzyme. It's not the regular meat, which gets involved with our question today of what qualifies as meat today in terms of molecular biology, etc., etc. So that's fascinating. We would have to comb the Dovid Misharim on that issue as well. But for our purposes, the Chabina Rav made reference to the exact same Kesef Mishnah that Rav Aaron Soloveitchik made reference to. So the Polish Shagoyin said the exact same thing, and he was Mekel. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who was the Rav Yerushalayim at the time, was known to the Chumrah. Chacham Avadia's son, our present chief rabbi, Rav Yitzchak Yosef Shlita, on page Kuf Pei. Yalkut Yosef doesn't have a lot on Nisr Veheter. He sort of stops, but he has a lot on Simon Pei Zayin. He stops after Pei Ches, Pei Tes. The harder Simonim he stops, but in the earlier Simonim he has a tremendous amount. So if you take a look in Yalkut Yosef Kuf Pei, he quotes this Masel Matan, and interestingly, so you have the Dov Misharim said the exact same vart that we have from Ramesha Soloveitchik. Okay, so that is a fascinating application in terms of the why. So we have the what's, the different what is it about Basar B'Chalav that makes it different about than Shaar Isurim? We had six different differences. We saw that one of those differences applies textually to the Ramah in the beginning of Sif Aleph. We then asked the why question, which we don't necessarily have to always ask, but it's important at least to address it basically. And we saw the Kesef Mishnah's two approaches, and the Ksav HaKabbalah and the Halacha L'maaseh application. Okay, now let's discuss the Geder of the Din Bishul. Let's discuss exactly what the Geder of Bishul is. Are we going to use the general rules of Bishul that we use, let's say, for Hilchos Shabbos? Or are the rules a little different? So, the Rabbi Kiva Eger, right off the bat, on our first Sif again, this is Rabbi Kiva Eger, Sif Katan Aleph, Rabbi Kiva Eger points out that the Lashon of the Shari Dura is that just like we have a rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, when it comes to Shabbos, the same would apply for Basar B'Chalav. Let's take a look at that. Rabbi Kiva Eger, Sif Katan Aleph, Kasav Agol Shaar Dura Shebesof HaSefer, V'Chaticha Shenichbisha B'Chalav Asal Avashla. This is what we mentioned before, that if you have something that's soaked, so then to cook it would be an Isser D'Araisa. That can have Isser Kavosh Midrabbana, V'Ata Overal Isser Bishul D'Araisa. Mashma Din Nispashla B'Chalav Mutal Asal Avashla. Why did Agol Shaar Dura only say Kavosh? Because he's emphasizing that it's only if it's Kavosh. But if you have something that was already cooked, so then we would have a general rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Okay, that seems to be very fair. At the end of the day, as we worked on last year, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is the idea that once it's been cooked, when it comes to, let's say, according to summary shown, when it comes to a Dabar Yavesh, the effect already has taken place, and when you reheat it, you're making it hot again, but you're not changing as the identity of the food as the first bishul does. That's the rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Comes along Rav Shlomo Eger, and he continues what his father said, and he adds more. He adds a fascinating chiddush. Comes along Rav Shlomo Eger, and this is going to fit into the lamdus as well of how bishul basar b'chalav works. He says, so even though his father already said that, by the way, he doesn't quote his father, he quotes the Prima Gadim, that the Prima Gadim already says that we have a rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, but that's only if the meat and milk have been cooked together. What happens if the meat was cooked separately and the milk was cooked separately? So then in such a case, says Rav Shlomo Eger, the halacha would be that if you cook them together in such a case, that would be Bishul Basar V'Chalav. Before we give the Svaros, Lekan Ulekan, I just want to point out that there is a Rabbeinu Gershom that's become popular, that it seems to be beferish against that. There's a Rabbeinu Gershom on Daf Kuf Chesam Abeis. By the way, for those of you who have some extra time to work on Sugyas in Chulin itself, the halachas of Tarubas and Basar B'cholav are, and Isser V'Heter in general, is humongous. But what's fascinating is that there are a couple of dapim that you could point to, even one or two, and if you could stretch it to three or four dapim in Masechta Schulin that really have almost all the salient issues that come up. So if you have time, aside from, of course, going through the Beis Yosef, if you're able to learn, I'll just tell you the dapim right now, because we're about to turn to the most important daf in all the Schulin, is daf Kuf Ches. You have the Mishnah on top of Kuf Ches, going through until Kuf Tes. So if you're able to do that, then you've got a lot of the sugya of Basar B'chol right there with the Balei Tesis, as well as if you're able to do in Gira Nasha, Daf Tzadi Vav, Daf Tzadi Zayin, and Daf Kuf, basically, and Daf Tzadi Ches, Tzadi Vav, all right, maybe let's add a little bit more. Daf Tzadi Vav through Daf Kuf, so that's five dapin. You have five dapin, so you could really end run your way around a lot of chulin. You won't know Masechta Chulin, but you will have a tremendous, tremendous background. Almost all that you need in the Rishonim, you're going to have over there. Anyhow, Rabbeinu Gershom on that critical Amid, on Kuf Ches, on the Beis, says as follows. He says in the Kimta of Gemara, he says, "V'chala mevusha, v'laka chetzi zayis mi'osa basa, v'chetzi zayis mi'osa chalo, v'chazar u'bishlam pam achas, abishul lalaki dekvar mevusha, achil lalaki de'achal kizayis kisir." The Gemara says that if you take a half a zayis of chalo, and you have to have a half a zayis of basar, and you eat them together, so then the Gemara says, the chiddush is, of course, that you need just the kizayis combined, of both basar and chalav together. But if you cook them, if they were already cooked separately, says, and then you cook each zayis together, so says Rabbeinu Gershom, the halacha is that you're not going to be chayiv for bishul, you'll only be chayiv for the isser of achila. So from this Rabbeinu Gershom, you see not that way. You see not like Rabbi Shlomo Eger. Presumably we'll be able to find, we found this, if I recall correctly, when we learned Kalabasar here in the Kailog, we found other Rishonim that disagree with Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbi Shlomo Eger has many friends, but Rabbeinu Gershom is a fairish not that way, that the rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul will apply even if you're cooking them together. What would the Lomdus... Yes, go ahead, Natan.
Even for Rabbeinu Gershom, he's only saying it within Shitas Rav there, but Levi, who argues, would come out that Levi would hold that...
Beautiful. That's part of what I was being... That was what I was being meramez to, in a chanami, that you don't... Oh, you're adding even more. You're saying even Rabbeinu Gershom himself. Okay, in a chanami. Right. Even within Rabbeinu Gershom himself. Correct. Okay. Good point. So, Rav Ganak Shlita, in his Sefer in Gan Shoshanim, as well as in the Shiur Rav in page Kuf Pei Gimel, as well as here in the classroom, where Rav Miller Shlita taught Basar B'chalav and Isser V'Heter for many, many years, when Rav Miller asked me to start teaching the Chevra, so I panicked, and what I did was I just listened to all of Rav Miller's shiurim, and that was extremely, extremely helpful. And so here, quite a few years ago, not too many years ago, Rav Miller said over the same Yisod, and we'll see Rav Miller applied it into a few instances, that what we learned above, that the chiddush of Basar B'chalav is that the conglomerate of both meat and milk together creates a unique identity through Bishul, that would explain that even though in Hilchos Shabbos, if you took meat that was cooked already and milk that was cooked together, you cook them again, it could very well be in Hilchos Shabbos, we would say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. However, when it comes to Basar B'chalav, the Geder of Iser is entirely different. The Geder of Iser is to create a Cheftza of Basar B'chalav through Bishul, to prepare, to take the Ksav HaKabbalah's Lashon, or however you take the Kesef Mishnah's description. Either way, the whole idea is to create a new Cheftza of Iser, that the Gemara describes, that's Gufa the Chiddush of Basar B'chalav, as the Gemara describes in Psachim HaMem Dalet on the base. And the Rav Zatzal also said something similar. Of Konigsberg Shlita has that in the Shiur HaRav, and Rabbi Ganak, who was my first Rebbe in Isser V'Heter in New York, has that idea as well in his Sefer. I don't think I put it into this packet, but it's really quite straightforward. What would one say about the following? So we have you will have bishul basar b'chalav if you have basar and chalav that's brought together the first time. What happens if you have a pot that's a ben yomo and you cook meat, let's say it's a ben yomo milchit pot, and you cook meat inside of it? So clearly the meat is now basar b'chalav. That's pashut, if there's enough there to give off tam. What would you say about bishul basar b'chalav? Is the individual over bishul basar b'chalav in such an instance? So here we have a tshuva. I just found that this year as I was preparing, I was unaware of this, the tshuva of Maritz Chiyas. There's a famous shaila from the Shaar Ephraim. The Shaar Ephraim has a famous hak in regards to lighting Neiros Chanukah with shemen that is Machalas Asuras. And one of the examples of shemen of Machalas Asuras he discusses is using milk, something that's milk, in a fleishiga pot. He says, if you take a look, it's in your booklet, Shuas Maritz Chiyas Simen Samach Dalit. Valkushis Malas Harav Shaar Ephraim Duratz Lahatir Chema Shabishl Dikter Shel Basar. If you have butter that was cooked in a fleishiga pot, so the Shaar Ephraim says, since mitzvos lav lehenos nitna, so then you'd be allowed to use it for Neiros Chanukah. This is a famous yeshiva shahak around Chanukah time, if you're trying to figure out a way to connect your limud isav heter to Chanukah. So this is a very, very famous Shaar Ephraim. Rav Asher Weiss has a lot of material on this, because there are a lot of different possibilities in which the way the shaila could go. So the Shaar Ephraim says mitzvah slav lehenis nitna, this will be an exception to the rule. So the Maritz Chiyas doesn't like it for a different reason. Farei basa b'chalav gamkein aser bishul vayidei sheyadik ye over lisa bishul b'chalav. So I'm sorry. The Shaar Ephraim continues that even though it's mitzvah slav lehenis nitna, still it's going to be aser because of bishul basa b'chalav, because you're cooking basa b'chalav together. Actually, just to get the shalshelis correctly, the Shaar Ephraim says that's mutter, and the El Yoraba asks, what about bishul basar b'chalav? So Maritz Chiyas answers that he says the following. He says, "Achein ad kan shayach isi bishul basar b'chalav dafke bebe'en, aval yadei tam min hakdera, afagav di'i tam keikur da'araisa, loki ala tam, mikol makol inyim bishul ein achayi bishul basar b'chalav rak bebe'en." So says Maritz Chiyas, you can't have bishul basar b'chalav on tam coming out of a pot. If you have tam that's coming out of a pot, that's not going to qualify as bishul basar b'chalav. It has to be derech bishul. And derech bishul doesn't include blios. So obviously it says a lot about blios, how we look at blios, and this will, a lot of what we're going to spend real time on is how to look at blios. But this is interesting that even if you're going to have the yisod that Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shlomo Eger says, and Rabbi Miller was Masbir, that is about creating a new Chefza of Basar B'chalav, that new Chefza of Basar B'chalav might require Be'en, according to Maritz Chiyas. However, the El Yoraba and others hold that even with Blios, that could take place. There seems to be a Beferish Araya that in Shulchan Aruch we're Machmir against the Maritz Chiyas. I'm not sure what the Maritz Chiyas is going to do with this, and that's one of the Ramah's Chumras. We're going to have at the end of Siman Pei Zayin, the Ramah has a list of many Chumras in regards to Basar B'chalav. Questions: how to read what the tokef of their chumras are, but the Ramah lists a bunch of chumras in Pei Zayin Vav. One of those appears in the Sefer Torah Schatas of the Ramah, and in the Torah Schatas, it's in your booklet. Siv Vav is an intense sif to read in the Ramah, so let's just read it in the Torah Schatas itself. He says as follows, right at the end, Kasa Amardachi Perakal Tzalam, She'asal Vashal Basar Beis Yisrael Bikter Shal Nachri. You're not allowed to cook meat using a Gentile's pot. Shema Yechata Yisrael Bikachon Tachta. Vahagoy Bishal Ba Basar B'chalav, O Chalav Levadav, U Bechitui Over Mishum Lo Sivasha. He says, you have to be careful, even if you're not going to eat the food, But you have to be careful not to stoke the coals under a goy's pot, because the pot might have had basar b'chalav, or the pot has chalav and you have basar inside. The case that the Rama is going to discuss is going to be a case of where you're in a hotel. And once upon a time in a hotel, they had one collective stove, and you as a Jew have mahadrin food, but the guy is having his food, and his food might be basar b'chalav. So if you're going to stoke under his food, you might be cooking basar b'chalav. But the way the Taras Chata says it, he talks about a pot that has blios, and it seems from there that blios basar b'chalav, the Taras Chata was choshesh for bishul basar b'chalav. So it would seem that the minig in Ashkenaz is to be more machmer than the Maritz Chias, which would also be a defense in terms of the El Yerabba, why the El Yerabba was choshesh for that. If you take a look, the Prima Gadim also has a discussion about this in his Mishpat Zozov, Os Yud Ches, in terms of Blios, whether Blios are going to be subject. So that is another issue in regards to the scope of the issue of the Isser of Bishul. Now, what type of cooking qualifies as cooking for Bishul? In other words, there are many different types of heat modalities that people use to heat food. For example, a sous vide. So today, but there are many other examples that precede this that come up. So if you take a look in the Mishpat Zozov, the Prima Gadim discusses them in Sivkat and Aleph. And the Prima Gadim begins Vihine Tzli. He discusses many different types of cooking, which does not appear in Hilchos Basar B'chalav. So, for example, he points out that in Hilchos Bishul Akum, in Siman Kuf Yud Gimel, the halacha is that smoking is not considered bishul. It's not considered bishul in regards to Bishul Akum. In regards to Basar B'chalav, what is going to be the din? Another example is Bishul Chamei Tveria, that the halacha is, when it comes to Chamei Tveria, so then how does one look at that? That for Shabbos, that's not considered a normal form of Bishul. So let's take a look at the Prima Gadim, and then we'll see how other posts can discuss it. So towards the end of the Mishpat Zozov Aleph, he says, U'mu'ushan u'mavushal b'chamei Tveria, hini ha'rama perik tes, that they're actually a suffix. Because of Magim Mishnah, that the problem is that in Yerushalmi it says that we don't know how to pass on Ushan. What's the case in the Yerushalmi? Yerushalmi discusses what happens if someone smokes food and he had made a neder not to have hanaf from cooked food. What's the halacha? So, and the Pashas of Yerushalmi is that both of them are not Bishul, both Chamei Tveria and Me'ushan, and the Yerushalmi has a suffix. But the Pri Chadash came along, and the Pri Chadash found that in Hilchos Shabbos it's Pashul. Continuing on the Prima Gadim, but Pri Chadash Kasav, the Pashla Yiboy, B'makom Acher, Periklal Gadol, Hatzola, V'asholot, V'ma'ashim, V'matagim, Chayim Mishum Shabbos. So that in Hilchos Shabbos, Ma'ashim is going to be Chayim. So therefore, the Prima Gadim is noted to the side that says that if on Shabbos you're going to be chayiv, so then it's going to be considered bishul as well. But that is a big, big discussion. Are we going to be medamet, the halacha of Shabbos, that we see that Me'ushan is considered bishul, are we going to say the same thing in regards to Basar B'chalav? And that, the Prima Gadim goes on, lekanu lekan. Ultimately, the Prima Gadim doesn't have a full Hachra in regards to that question. And in regards to the stira in the Yerushalmi, there are some who give a fascinating teretz. If you take a look at the Yalkut Yosef, in other words, what's a stira? That when it comes to Nedarim, the Yerushalmi has a suffix, whether it's considered bishul. Yet when it comes to Shabbos, the Yerushalmi says davar is poshet, that the halacha is that it's considered a suffix. Why in Hilchos Shabbos and Me'ushan Pashim one way, and yet when it comes to Nedarim and other halachos, it's going to be different. And if we're going to say that Shabbos and Basar B'chalav is different, what exactly is the difference between Shabbos and Basar B'chalav? So if you take a look in your booklet, in page Resh Pei Dalet, again, our chief rabbi quotes a fascinating svara. V'shamati chiluk mikvod agon Rabbi Tzvi Simon Tov. I don't know who this rav is. D'gabi Shabbos ha'isir hu b'melechas ha'adam. Sha'adam lo yivasha v'lo yasem ma'isa bishul ha'ragil. Ulachain, b'chama, adam lo osa ma'isa bishul, she'en derech bazeh. When it comes to cooking on Shabbos, so there, if a person cooks in a normal way for a person to prepare food, then you're chayiv. If you don't, then you're potter. Masha'en ken gabi basar v'chalav ikar adavar hu ha'totsa mikoach ma'isa adam. Sha'basar yitein tam b'chalav, v'chalav yitein tam b'basar. If you will, when it comes to Shabbos, the hagdara of the Yisr Shabbos is the ma'isa adam. The ma'isa adam of what's derech to prepare food, that is going to be the Yisr. And if we could put mu'usham into the category of the normal way of using heat to prepare food, automatically you're going to be chayiv. However, when it comes to basar b'chalav, there you need to create a cheftza of basar b'chalav al yidei bishul. So then the definition of basar b'chalav, of bishul basar b'chalav, might be more narrow. It might very well be more narrow than it is when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, and it might be more narrow for other dinim as well. So even though when it comes to Shabbos Me'ushan, the Yerushalmi holds that's chayiv, nevertheless, when it comes to basar b'chalav, there might be even more room to be made. Again, the Prima Gadim leaves off with a suffix. This reminds me of another Shaila. What would one say in regards to microwave? So in Hilchos Shabbos, let's go back to Hilchos Shabbos. So in Hilchos Shabbos, we have a machlokas between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rav Shlomo Zalman in regards to cooking with the microwave. Rav Moshe makes a big deal of the lashon of Rashi, that Rashi says that mevashel b'chama, someone who cooks in the sun, so the halacha is that cooking in the sun on Shabbos is going to be mutter. Why is it mutter? So Rashi says, because it's not the derech to cook in the sun. So Rav Moshe says, if I came up with a way, which is now the derech, so then you're going to be chayiv, which is actually very similar to what the Alkif Yosef was quoting from one of his rabbeim in the yeshiva. And that is that if it's a normal way to cook, by definition, you're going to be chayiv when it comes to Shabbos. However, Rav Shlomo Zalman disagreed. Rav Shlomo Zalman said that bishul on Shabbos requires fire. Without fire, it's not called bishul. And this is going to get back to the Torah's definition of bishul. It's going to get back to the Ksav HaKabal and so on. It's in it's in the hard booklet. It's not in the electric booklet. But the Rav Shlomo Zalman, the Rav Moshe's Maramakum is Chelek Gimel Simen Nun Beis, and Rav Shlomo Zalman's Maramakum is in Simen Yud Beis in his first Sefer Ha'ara 4, where Rav Shlomo Zalman expressly disagrees with Rav Moshe, and he says that it has to be with fire, and therefore all the post Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Nevin Zala said it to me this way, present that Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman disagree in regards to something like a microwave. Is a microwave going to be an Isur D'Oraisa or not? Rav Moshe will say that it is an Isur D'Oraisa on Shabbos, and Rav Shlomo Zalman would say that it is not. So Rav Miller Shlita was Choker, what is that so pashut that the same would apply for Basar B'chalav? Would we say that when it comes to Basar B'chalav, that just like the halacha is that when it comes to Shabbos, the halacha is that according to Rav Moshe you're going to be chayiv, automatically you're going to be chayiv, but according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, you would not. Or do you say differently? So Rav Miller suggested that if the way in which one now it's normal to create tam through the cooking of a microwave, and that is considered cooking through heat, not just smoking, but it's the way in which it's another form of cooking today, it could very well be that Rav Shlomo Zalman would hold that would qualify as bishul basar b'chalav as well. That was what Rav Miller thought. It is a machlokas between my rabbein. Rav Nevin Zal felt strongly not that way. Rav Nevin Zal Shlita said that he didn't think Rav Shlomo Zalman would hold that way. That Rav Shlomo Zalman held in general in Kol HaTorah Kula that bishul requires fire. That wasn't the local din Hilchos Shabbos. Even though we saw that there are achronim that differentiate between Shabbos and other cases, like we saw the Prima Gadim, like we saw in the Yalkut Yosef, So this is the stud and lekan and lekan. Rav Miller is being l'shitasa. Rav Miller is being l'shitasa. When it comes to basar b'chalav, that the most important part of basar b'chalav is whether you're creating a new conglomerate of basar b'chalav in a normal that's derech, that's the derech. Once you're doing that, then it could be that other constrictions that you have in Hilchos Shabbos will not apply. Okay, we'll come back a little bit to Mu'ushan and Chamei Tveri when we go inside to see Vav. In regards to Tigun, what's Tigun frying? So the Mishpat Tzalsav, Dibra Maskel, Vahine Tzli, has an interesting discussion in regards to frying, whether that's going to qualify as Bishul. He writes as follows, Vahine Tzli, Asa Menat Torah, Ayin Pri Chadash V'chein Alacha, Validei Tigun, what about frying? After Pri Chadash Shem, to have him in a Torah, hine minchas Yaakov. Even though the Pri Chadash says that it's going to be awesome in a Torah, minchas Yaakov is Mekel. B'chein Mashmos Rashi tells us in Sanhedrin. The Lashon Rashi tells us in Sanhedrin is that when you cook chaylev fat, Rashi there in a totally, they're not talking about Hilchos Basar B'chalav, but over there on Daf Dalet in Sanhedrin, they say when you cook fat, ain't a bishul elo tigun. It's not bishul; it's called tigun. So Rashi, it's a fascinating Rashi and Tosfos, both of them assume that Bishul and Tigun are two different things. So that's what the Minchas Yaakov says. That's quite a chiddush. And that will have big nafkaminas, that if you have fried basar b'chalav, so then in such a case, that would be only be asar midrabana, that would have a nafkamina of hana, it would have a nafkamina of whether there is nisar Bishul at all. So that's a fascinating maramakam. Ultimately, the Prima Gadin, as in many of these instances, is not when it's a clear suffix in the Gemara or in the Rishonim. The Prima Gadin is not going to be entirely Mako, but he will be Mako, B'shas Adchak, and so on, that the Minchas Yaakov has that fascinating right. Based on this, yes?
Just go back to the microwave stuff. Mm-hmm. So, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, despite the fact that it uses electricity, it has no bearing on calling it Eish.
The nafkamina is going to be what happens if you have a chola that electricity will be mutra on their behalf. So is there an advantage to cook for them with a microwave as opposed to with the normal way of cooking? Is there an advantage? This comes up in the army sometimes as well. In cases of Amir Lanachri also, instances that you'll have that. Let's take it one step further. In regards to kitor, so this doesn't appear in the Gemara Mishon. Kitor is steam cooking. So Chacham Avadya points out that even tigun, it's not pashut according to everybody, that that's going to qualify as cooking. So Chacham Avadya has a discussion in regards to Bishul Akum, which we're going to get to in Mirtz Hashem after Pesach. This comes up in the Halacha L'Maisa literature in regards to tuna, cooking tuna. That tuna is fished, you know, on the other side of the world. It's really far-flung places. So it's very expensive to get mashkichim to go there to heat up the fish. So that's a big discussion. And Chacham Avadya says that he thinks that steam cooking is not going to be any worse than ishun. And there, when it comes, as I mentioned, in Hilchos Basar B'chalav, the halacha is that Ishun is mutter, even though we have that suffix that we had mentioned within the Yerushalmi, but nevertheless, it's mefurish in Hilchos Basar B'chalav, in Bishul Akum, that we're mekel when it comes to Bishul Akum, when it comes to Ishun. So Chacham Avadya quotes those, and he's nota lekula in that direction as well, that when it comes to, at least when it comes to Bishul Basar B'chalav, that there's room to be mekel, and he's mesupik in regards to basar b'chalav, that whether it will be qualified as bishul basar b'chalav. However, if you take a look at the back of the last page, Rav Sternbuch Shlita, he quotes that there are those who are going to be mekel, and he disagrees. He says, at the end of the day, this is entirely different than smoking, because what is smoking? What smoking is you have fire on the bottom, and what you're doing is you are changing the flavor of the food through the smoke. That is very, very different than using vapor to cook, because cooking is cooking inside of water. And so Rav Sternbuch says, essentially, I'm rewording what he's saying, but he essentially says, who cares whether you're cooking through immersion, immersion, immersing the food in water before it's been vaporized, or the water that's actually being vaporized. So it's an entirely different world than the world of Ishun, and therefore he's machmer both for Bishul Akum as well as for certainly for Basar B'chalav. Now these, Chacham Avadi points out that this will have big, big nafkaminas also for kashering kalim. If you're going to say that it serves as Bishul, then it's also going to help you. It's going to help you on the other end, and that is that if you're going to say that it's Bishul, so then in such a case, if you need to kasher something through steam, that's going to work. Now this is very much halacha l'maisa in many factory settings where they do today. It's a lot easier to kasher through steam than it is through hot water. So we conclude with every chumrah is a kula and every kula is a chumrah. In other words, if we're going to say that it's a special basar b'chalav, so then actually that is going to help us kashering. So someone who netiyah was to look for the kula actually might have gone in the wrong direction if you were going to look for the kula in this case. Because how often do you have cooking basar b'chalav with steam? But we do have kashering with steam as being an option often. So here, if you take the chamur position, it could very well be that one would benefit on the other end. I guess the other end, we're going to have to wait till after Pesach, as far as that's concerned. Okay, b'siyata d'shmaya tom v'nishlam. We completed the hakdama and a little bit of the hakdaras of Bishul. And mirtz Hashem, next week on... I have to figure out my simcha situation, Baruch Hashem. Today is... You have to remind me what day it is. So today is Thursday. So officially, normally we have shiur on Monday. Monday, Baruch Hashem, my children are getting married, and everybody is invited from near and far. Those who are not in bidud, everybody's invited. But those who could come, we'd love to have you. That means Monday I'm probably not going to give shiur. I'll give you a lot of Mar Mekomos to work for the whole week of next week. And what we'll do is we'll pick up on Thursday in your session. I think that's... If you find that what would be better for you is to have shiur on Tuesday or Wednesday, let me know, and I might be able to adjust. But I'd love to hear your feedback as far as that's concerned. I'm going to give you my promise through the rest of Simin Pei Zayin, and there's a lot of shach and taz in your session that we're going to work on. But give me your feedback via WhatsApp if you don't want to give it to me now, if you have a strong preference for us to find another time. In terms of rooms, right now there's no difficulty in finding Torah Shirah is going to be in Bidud, even though Rabbi Benar will give shir either. So I'm going to be here Sunday, Mir Tishem, and then the rest of the week as well. I think I'll only miss Monday. So if you have a preference as far as that's concerned, let me know. Wishing everybody a good Shabbos.